Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. I set a trap for my own self because I don't know how to talk. Because I say the wrong things. Anybody with me today? I say the wrong stuff. When I keep saying I'm sick and tired. And guess what? You are sick. And you're tired. When you say this got on my last nerve, now you can't take nothing else. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, we say all kinds of stuff that mess up our path because we're negative. But Isaiah's mouth was cleansed. He says, this has touched thy lips and thine iniquity. Look, not only does God deal with what he said, but he deals with what's down on the inside. Iniquity is a hidden guilt. Iniquity is beneath the surface. That's why when the Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquity, a bruise is under the skin, right? And so what Jesus did, he was bruised for our iniquity. He was bruised for the things that are underneath this flesh, the hidden things that we don't tell nobody, the mess that we know we got going on the inside of us that we're ashamed to talk about, ashamed to confess. Come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, he said and thy iniquity has been taken away. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin has been purged. In other words, I've cleaned you up and I've cleaned your mouth up so that you'll be able to do what I want you to do. And he says in verse number 8, after he come to church, going somewhere, after he had been in the temple and saw the Lord, after he confessed and was converted, after he was cleaned up, verse 8 says, I heard the voice. You can't hear God till you get it right. You can't hear God till your mouth is right. You can't hear God till your heart is right. You can't hear God till you start seeking God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He tells us that we need, he said that he'll reward us that diligently what? Seek him. We need to seek the Lord. And so, in other words, now that he had envisioned this, he had encountered, and he was enlightened.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
We're continuing on our series of Facing Your Fears, and we are now moving to the series Study of Loneliness, Facing Your Fear of Loneliness. Now, this may not be a present reality for some of us. It might be a past reality. And the truth of the matter is, if you keep on living long enough, it may be a future reality. But I want you to know how to deal with it when the time comes so that you'll understand what God wants you to know about this spirit of loneliness. If the devil can again hinder you, paralyze you, and keep you in a place where you are unable to move, function, and or flow the way God wants you to through this spirit of loneliness, then he has in many ways kept you from being or becoming or doing and or having what God would have for you. Don't underplay this spirit of loneliness, because with this spirit, the devil uses it in such a subtle way many times to bring upon depression, to put you in a place where you become, again, paralyzed to the things that you are supposed to. It messes with your self-esteem. It does so many different things. And so we want to be careful about that, because if you can look in retrospect at these things or at this spirit of loneliness and see how there are things in your life you would not have done had that spirit not been a revelation or a part of your life. And now the revelation of how this spirit operates will cause you not to have to live in fear to the spirit of loneliness again. There ought to be a grave difference between being alone and being lonely. Because everybody that's got somebody with them and around them doesn't mean that they're not lonely. Because the reality and the revelation of that truth is that everybody that's smiling on the outside is not really happy. Some folk are just fronting. And they are masking the loneliness underneath the skin, because there are so many things, again, that are connected with this study. So I want us to look again at some things that I think are important. You know, when you go to a restaurant and they say, how many? You say, table for one. Now, some of you feel, you know, a little, I don't know what the word is, maybe embarrassed, maybe you feel bad, feel like, and instead of someone enjoying a good meal because you don't have somebody else to enjoy with, you take it to go, and you go home, sit in front of TV, you can't enjoy a good atmosphere, dining, et cetera, because you feel embarrassed, you're there by yourself. Now, again, there are some things that you're going to realize that God allows. Everything the devil means for evil, God means it for good. And listen at this. If the devil can keep you depressed and in your house or in your apartment, keep you from going out, keeping you from allowing what God has placed in you to be seen and to be shown and to be demonstrated, how do you think Mr. or Mrs. Wright going to find you stuck up in your dirty apartment or your house? You go out to dinner, you by yourself. Is this chair free? Do you see anybody sitting there? I mean, God might have that thing already fixed and arranged and so forth and so on. But again, all of this is going to work according to God's will and God's word and God's way. And so all you have, you don't have to go looking for what God's got for you. God knows how to present it. God knows how to position it. God knows how to place it where he knows he's directing you. And when you understand how God operates, then there's a lot of foolishness that the devil has used in the past that you won't even deal with, because you'll understand the principles of God and operate in this same reality. I want to share a few things that have been said about this issue of loneliness. Swiss psychiatrist Paul Tonnier called it the most devastating malady of this age, talking about loneliness. Billy Graham has commented that it is man's greatest problem. Again, talking about loneliness. Mother Teresa once said that it is easier to fill a hungry stomach than to fill an empty heart. Loneliness. Again, it's something that not many of us will openly admit or deal with, because you know, it seems to suggest that something's wrong with us because we're lonely, because there is a need unmet underneath the skin, and we don't want folk, we feel vulnerable to say that we are lonely. And if that is the case, it is many times a warning, a signal, a sign that there are some things missing underneath the skin that you need to deal with, because in dealing with those things, God will then come in, fill that void, so that you might be alone, but you won't have a spirit of loneliness. Because again, people have made grave mistakes because they've been lonely. So again, I want us to look at this. Loneliness. Ask the divorcee who has just moved into the one-bedroom apartment. Talk to the parent whose arms still ache because of their deceased child. Speak with a single man or woman who has just ended the engagement or spent the holiday or some special day alone, and they'll tell you that loneliness is real. It's a very real spirit, and if we aren't careful, we'll find ourselves dealing with this issue in many ways more than we care to. Lonely. Since it is the derivative, loneliness is the derivative of lonely, I thought it'd be helpful again for us to look at what lonely means defined. It means being without company, lone, cut off from others, solitary, not frequented by human beings. Now, I thought that was interesting, as I mentioned earlier today, because, you know, you cannot replace human interaction with things, pets, or any other vices. God made us to interact with other human beings. My dog could never ever really be my best friend. My cat, my anything else can never be all the, and you got some folk who would choose an animal who could not truly communicate nor articulate concerns, feelings, et cetera, with them as that they esteem more highly than another human being. And so the revelation of that is, and it is a reality, that you must recognize God made you to interact with other human beings. It's just a reality, not only from scripture, but even in life. Desolate. Three, sad from being alone, lonesome, producing a feeling of bleakness or desolation. Loneliness is something to deal with. And the reality is that as we look at this study tonight and get into it, said something about this issue in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, in the Garden of Eden, the most perfect place where man himself was positioned on planet Earth, the Garden of Eden. In paradise, God speaks a word about loneliness. Now listen to this. Now you're in paradise. You're in the best place you can be on planet Earth, and God says there's a problem. Yes. Well, let's go to the word. Let's go to it. The Bible relates us to us over and over again from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden that it is not good for mankind to be alone. It would be easy to say God does not want us to be alone, so stop fearing loneliness. You can close the book, the end. But we can't do that. It is not that simple. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Now look at this again. Now, if you would see this, and you'll understand this in the framework of God creating the earth and working with everything that he has placed in the earth realm, he has position things for mankind to be a blessing to him. Look at what the Bible says, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now look at what he goes on to say in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Now, keep in mind and look at the full picture and understand what God is seeing inside of Adam. God has made the animals, the birds, and so forth and so on, and everything there. And he's made them in twos, male and female. And everything he made after its kind. And he placed everything there, gave Adam the opportunity and the responsibility of naming everything that God created and placed in pairs. Adam happens to see and notice God's other creations moving, functioning, and flowing. And they have a mate, another after its kind. Adam looks all over everywhere, and he don't see nothing that look like him. And something is starting to become conspicuously obvious, and it is that he's alone on this great big earth with all of these other creatures and everything there, and there's not another life form like him nowhere. Now understand, God has given him a task. He said to him, be fruitful and multiply. But how is he going to multiply if he's by himself? Now stick with me here because I'm going somewhere. Now everything God made, he made it for the purpose of increasing, multiplying, and moving beyond the original state of being. He, in other words, he wants it to evolve to its fullest potential and be all that he's called it to be and designed it to be. And so he recognized that now Adam is in a position where something is going on underneath the skin where he's concerned. As he observes the animals, he's noticing something happen in the animal kingdom. Yes, indeed. he don't understand. Now, you got to understand. Let me show you how Satan wants to pervert the plan of God. And I need to make this very clear. That's one of the reasons why we need to look at the word and the world and see the great contrast. You see, God said it wasn't good for the man to be alone, so he was going to make a helpmeet, a woman, to be there for him, because again, the original plan of God is that he would multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it. He had a responsibility, but his ultimate goal was going to be to reproduce himself in the earth realm so that God would get the glory, that his creation is functioning and flowing as he designed it. He had to make Eve for that to become a reality. Now, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, not Eve and Earlene, because here's what the world don't understand. Listen, it's more than just the perverted pleasures that we have taken in the flesh form. God has a divine purpose for your body, for the function of man and woman and so forth, and to set up the social system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But listen at this. It goes back to the original plan of God. It's to multiply. Two men can't have a baby. Two women can't have a baby. Or shall I say, they can't make a baby. They can't reproduce a baby, because two of the same kind can't make the same thing. So you need a male and a female. And that's how God intended it, and it was for the original purpose of reproducing first. The pleasure of what man perverted things into and brought them to a whole nother place also was able to be clearly seen in Scripture how it violated the principle of God, the plan of God, the design of God. And so as a result, if the devil's plan were to be implemented, and we were to allow same-sex marriages, yes, and if that were to promote itself and to continue on, how long do you think it would be before mankind would become extinct with two men not being able to reproduce and two women not being able to reproduce? You see, you've got to understand, the devil is trying to pervert always and subvert the plan of God. And it's more than that. And you got these folks talking about, I was born like this. Yes. No, David said, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Now, you got to understand, when you were born in sin. That's one strike against you. Secondly, you had a second strike against you because you were then exposed to sin and all of the things of the devil and that the enemy has brought about in evilness. But then thirdly, you got a third strike against you because you participated and practiced in some of the sin. So you've got to understand, the devil's desire is to totally pervert the plan of God for your life. So understanding that, you've got to realize again that God saw that something was missing underneath the skin for man, and it was his mate. God said, I'll make it for you. Now, if God does the making of the mate, can I ask you a question? Does he know what you need? God knows better than anybody here what they need better than they know. I want you to know there are three levels of loneliness, and I want you to jot these down as we go through our study. So we can look at first level area, arena of loneliness has to do with spiritual longings, spiritual longings. The second area, level of loneliness has to do with relational longings, relational longings. The third level or arena has to do with eternal longings. Now, these are the three basic areas that man experiences loneliness, where the spirit of loneliness attaches himself to. Now, keep in mind that loneliness is a spirit, and then there is a fear connected with a spirit. And so a lot of times, because of our fear of being alone or lonely, and having that fear, it is always a clear sign that if loneliness abides in your house, it's because you had a welcome mat out for it. The spirit of loneliness cannot come where there is a complete person functioning and flowing the way God wants them to function and flow underneath the skin. It has no place for them. You don't give the devil no place there. Now keep that in mind, because what's important for you to realize and recognize again is the fact when you come to that revelation and that knowledge, then you know how to take the devil's mess of loneliness and all of the things he tries to make you feel and how he works and reworks your emotions and try to bring you into another place. Again, keep in mind the devil is trying to bring you in bondage, trying to keep you out of the place of God, out of the peace of God, out of the provisions of God. And loneliness is one of those spirits that do that, because again, when it attaches itself to you, its design is to depress you. It is to suppress you and repress you to keep you from becoming all that God wants you to be, having all God wants you to have, doing all God wants you to do. So we're going to begin dealing with this issue here, starting with spiritual longings. First of all, let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Isaiah 59. Now, I'm going to read verse 1. And Isaiah 59, and share something with you, and then go to verse 2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now verse 2 says, but your iniquities, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. David said it this way. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, what is classically clear here in verse 1 is that God has the ability, no matter how far you've fallen or how faint your cry is, to reach down to the lowest of low and pick you up. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. But listen to this. Not only that, but his ear is tuned to hear the repentant cry of the sinner. So no matter how weak you are, if you ask God to help you, to strengthen you, if you ask God to deliver you, no matter how weak and how beaten down you may have been by your situation and circumstance, God said, if you can whisper it out, I can hear you. But verse 2 reiterates a point that I think needs to be reiterated, and this is this. God is saying in his word, don't think that you can continue to do what you want to do and try to act like you want me to help you, when the fact of the matter is you're not ready to give up what you got. So in essence, it's literally saying, don't call me till you're ready for me to help you. I can't help you, Harry Hippie, if you want to sleep on the... When you're ready to get up out the gutter, call me, I'll pick you up. I mean, think about it now, because he's letting us know and making this clear. My arm is not shortened. I don't care how far, I can get you. I can catch you.
You slip and fall, I catch it before you get down. He said, you can call me. Nobody else might not hear you. Mama might not hear you. Daddy, husband, wife, sister, friend. Nobody might not hear you, but you call me, I'll hear you. But then he's saying, if you don't really want me to catch you, don't call me. If you don't really want me to hear you, don't call me. And he's making clear this, listen, that when I know that you're not sincere, I'm going to tune you out and turn you off. Now listen to this, because these are spiritual longings, and God desires for us to be in fellowship with him as much as our inner man, our inner spirit, our spiritual man wants to fellowship with God. We're made of dust and divinity. The dust represents the flesh. The divinity represents the spirit. Just as the physical, the flesh desires food, craves the things of this world, so does your spirit man require and crave the things of the spirit realm. It desires, your spirit desires to fellowship with its creator. It's important for you to understand that your spirit man don't want no peanut butter and jelly when it's hungry. Your spirit man don't want no T-bone or no filet mignon steak. Don't want no caviar, don't want no lobster, don't want, y'all getting hungry, huh? It doesn't want any of that. Your spirit man wants spiritual food. And it wants fellowship with God, its creator. And it's important for you to understand that the one can't feel the other. It's important for you to know that, because when you begin to see that you can have everything else right, everything else going good in your life, but if the spiritual longing is not fulfilled, there'd be something underneath the skin nudging and tugging at you. You'd be like, something's missing. No, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong, but yet something's wrong. And again, you've got to understand that the devil wants to keep you separated from God. He wants to keep you out of fellowship with God. He wants to keep you out of that way that will cause you to be tuned in to what God has for you, tuned in to the fellowship of God, tuned in to the blessings of God. The devil wants you separated from all of that, because if he can do that, he conquers you by dividing you, separating you from the will of God for your life. The devil got sense enough to know, he knows it experientially, that when you're out of the will of God, you're out of the blessings of God. And the devil wants you to stay in that place where you're longing spiritually and then missing out on what God has for you. Turn to Matthew, if you will, chapter 27. Because I want you to see that Jesus, though he was as much God while he was here on earth as he was man, we cannot discount the fact that he was still very much so man. Now, Jesus, because we're talking about spiritual longings again, was given the task of coming down to planet Earth and being the ransom for mankind, paying the debt, standing in the stead of everybody who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Jesus, who was sinless, knew no sin, took upon the sins past, present, and future of every believer who trusted him as Savior. He had not been disconnected from God, his Father. Matter of fact, in his earthly ministry, he said many times, my Father and I are one. Their fellowship was superb. Their relationship was unruptured. And everything about him was an extension of his Father. He was the express image of his Father. They were on one accord. But when sin entered the picture, listen, God could not look on him. And for the first time, he experienced separation from God. He experienced loneliness like he never knew it before, because he and his Father were separated because of sin. Now, the Father, and let's go in the word. Verse 45 says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Verse 46 says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus still never sinned. He was still sinless and pure as he was when he entered planet Earth, but the reality was that sin was upon him now. And because sin was upon him, his father turned his back on him, would not fellowship with him because he was too holy of a God to have any fellowship with sin. Even though his son was pure, the sins of the world were upon him, and it wasn't him he was turning away from, it was the sin he couldn't see him under. The sin was so great that he didn't even see Jesus under the sin because of the greatness of the sin, so much so that God turned his face.